And now, live from New York City via Los Angeles, California, it's time for The View from Over Here with the man who has a view for all seasons, your host, Stan Weisleder.
Hi there, everyone out there. This is Stan Weisleder on The View from Over Here, broadcasting from the Mark Grau Studio in Burbank.
And heard on Malcolm Digital Radio.com.
And speaking of Malcolm, he's right with me here in the studio. Malcolm Berman, our producer. Malcolm, say hello to all of the people out there.
Hello, everyone, to the multitude.
The magnitude of the multitude. Malcolm, what's on your mind today? What do you want to talk about?
Oh, there's lots I want to talk about. Did you hear the result? Obviously, we're doing this on Thursday afternoon, so we have all the results of New Hampshire. What did you think of that?
Well, I think the experts were right. Bernie Sanders really, really schlumped Hillary Clinton.
Or as Donald Trump would say, he schlonged her. I'm surprised he hasn't used that.
I think he's staying out of that little ruckus for now. I think he has his own things to deal with. He wants to keep his campaign going without being distracted. He'll have enough time to fight whoever the winner of that battle is.
That's amazing. Who'd have thunk, four or five months ago that Donald Trump would be the leading candidate in the Republican Party for the presidency.
Well, no one took him seriously. No one. A lot of people, they made fun of him, especially the so-called Republican establishment, the in people, the people that run the party, the professional politicians. They pooed him so badly that they ridiculed him from one end to the other. Nobody gave him any second thought, and they all wanted to bury him, including Jeb Bush and everybody else. And then he just plugged away, kept going and going. People wanted to hear his message because they were sick and tired of hearing from professionals all the time. They don't want the professional politicians.
Well, I think Donald is so politically incorrect. And he sort of...
It's refreshing.
It's refreshing, but I don't like his message. He's appealing to the crassness of the American public.
I don't believe he will do that if he gets in, because I think he's smart enough to know that he has to be more central.
Oh, right. But the question is, I'm not saying what he's saying. The bad thing is not what he's doing. It's a popularity that he has by saying what he's saying. I'm not disappointed in Donald per se. I'm disappointed in the American public.
The American public is what it is. They've always been that way, but they never had the choice before. Mm. It was always a choice between hand-picked professional politicians.
Yeah. Right, and going...
Or somebody who was groomed to meet the specs of those people.
Forgetting about Donald then, how about Bernie?
Bernie? Ha! This guy doesn't fit any kind of... mold whatever.
A 74-year-old Jewish...
I thought he was only 73.
No, 74. Okay, Jewish 74? Socialist.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Trump could beat him. But then again, whatever happens, whoever picks who, if Hillary is the Democratic choice, I think she could lose to Trump if he is the Republican choice. I think Bernie Sanders would be harder for Trump to beat because he doesn't have a closet filled with skeletons.
Well, I don't know if we know enough about Bernie.
Well, you don't think he's been vetted so far? All they came up with are pictures of him from when he was in his 20s and 30s. He hasn't been involved in any thing like the Clintons have been involved.
Oh, no, but...
And he's a poor slob.
Poor schlub, you're going to say.
Well, whatever. The guys are just a poor guy, senator from, of all places...
Vermont.
You would think he would be a senator from someplace like New York.
And do you know he spent his... he's been divorced once, and this is his second wife, and they spent their honeymoon in Moscow.
Now, I didn't know that.
Well, now you know it. That's why.
So are you saying he's not just a socialist, but also a commie?
No, I'm saying that he had relatives in Moscow that he visited.
Well, that's okay. How long ago was this?
I'm not sure how long he's married. I think since 68, 69. He's been married a while.
So this happened while the Soviet Union was still the Soviet Union?
I believe so.
Okay. Yeah, who would ever think back then that the Soviet Union would break up the way it did?
Has it broken up?
Well, it's not like it used to be.
No, I'm kidding. Yes. But Putin doesn't admit to it.
There are a number of people there that would still like to go back to the old days, but I don't know if that's ever going to happen. Too many things have already gone through. Yeah. You can't put the toothpaste back into the tube once you squeeze it out.
True. But it should be an interesting political year. I don't know why Iowa and New Hampshire are so important when they represent...
They're not important. They're just starting off first. They're first, okay? The first kid on the block.
Right, but we have 24/7 coverage of it, like...
Yeah, but you know what,
with breaking news.
Iowa is a nothing state.
Stop tapping your hand.
Iowa is a nothing state. New Hampshire, same thing, a nothing state.
You can't say that. We're heard in Iowa,
New
Hampshire.
No, nothing compared to those states that have maybe 20, 30 times the number of delegates. It's nothing compared to the total. But since they are first, it sets a precedent. Maybe it's a snowball running downhill. If you could come out first and say, aha, I got this state locked up. You know, they're going to look at you a little differently than when you say, well, I missed that one. Maybe I'll get the next one.
Perhaps, but I still think they're reading a bit too much in the, you know, the first primaries or caucus. By the way, there are other caucuses. I was hearing, I think, Montana. Someone else has a caucus aside from Iowa.
Why a caucus and not just an actual head count of the votes?
Why don't they do a head count of the votes and for a popular election? Why do they have
electoral
college,
which
everybody is against?
Tradition.
Yeah, tradition with slavery was tradition. And we don't have that anymore, I don't think.
Well, I think if things become fully automated at some point in the future and they have the ability to tally up the count, to get the count electronically across the entire country, I think you will see a popular election, popular vote for the election.
Well, even in the state, just to do a popular vote, which is without breaking up into districts.
Then add up the 50 states.
Right.
That could do it. But if you could do one state, you might as well do a whole area. And if you could do the area, you might as well do the whole country. So that's a nice big fat contract, which will go to somebody. You know, we'll go to the highest bidder, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. So now that we've figured out our political situation, I had something happen to me this week. I've had an MRI on my back, which has spinal stenosis, and a MRI on my shoulder, on my left shoulder, which I have.
What about the brain?
The brain, they can't do an MRI.
Okay.
But I've, over the years, I've had my time on psychiatric couches. Couches. When I graduated college in New York, it was to go to a shrink. Well, we call them shrinks. To go to a shrink was considered continuing education. The more you knew about yourself, the more you could accomplish.
So you went to find out who you are.
I went to find out who I am.
Who you are?
I know. I'm still going.
So what happened with the MRIs?
The MRI.
What do you have?
I have a spinal stenosis.
Okay.
And I have a partial torn rotator cuff.
Okay. What are you going to do about it?
Well, what I decided, since I go to Kaiser and they're kind of conservative, I was talking to some people who said you should use medical marijuana.
Hmm.
And though...
Are you going to Colorado for that?
No, actually, you can do medical marijuana in California.
It's
Colorado,
legal.
It's
legal here in California?
Yeah, it's recreational marijuana is illegal. In other words, I can use a marijuana for pain, but I can't get a high on it. If I get a high, in fact, I signed
then
something.
Then they can arrest you if you
they
get the high.
Okay. Actually, I found out. I went to one of these clinics where you go upstairs in a room and you fill out this application that says what's wrong with you, and you say what's wrong. So in my case, it happened to be true, but it doesn't have to be true. And you go and the doctor sees you and he says, well, you know, what's wrong? And I tell him it's my back and my shoulder. He says, okay. And he signs what's called a recommendation.
Wait, is he a real doctor?
He told me he was a real doctor. In fact, he told me he was, I asked him what he was. He's coincidentally, he was a gynecologist.
A gynecologist?
A gynecologist.
Dispensing marijuana for medical reasons?
a gynecologist dispensing marijuana for medical reasons.
So what month are you in if you had to see a gynecologist?
Well, I took the pregnancy test before, so I'm fine. I'm not pregnant.
Now, when he examines you, which orifice does he look into?
He didn't examine me.
And he gave you a prescription an examination?
It's not a prescription. It's a recommendation.
Well, isn't it the same thing?
I have no idea legally what it is, but they gave you a certificate. Now, with this certificate, I can go what's called to a dispensary. I can't get the marijuana there. They don't sell it. They just give you the recommendation. And they give you a little paper with a gold star in it. And as a matter of fact, which I found out, you have to have this paper in the car with you. If the cops stop you, if the a CHP stops you or the police stop you.
Give him a drag.
No, you have to you cannot have that in the car unless you have the certificate.
Really?
That you're legally can have marijuana.
Well, then,
and I think it's something like alcohol also. You can't have it open. It has to be in the trunk. I didn't get the
ramifications. Well, first of all, you can't be stopped without probable cause. And even if you do get stopped for, let's say, a traffic incident or whatever, you know, they need reason whereby they could look into your whatever.
Well, they could say they looked at my eyes and my eyes glazing.
Yes,
they can have lots of reasons.
I could see that right now. Looking at your eyes, and they're definitely glazed.
They have lots of reasons to stop people.
I know.
In fact, I remember when going a little offshoot, when they first had that seatbelt law.
Mm-hmm.
And they put it, they said, oh, we will never stop people just for seatbelts.
They could.
Now they can. And now they can, and now they do, which actually they should. But then again, people say, well, this is, you know, the nanny state. Why should the police or the government tell me that I should wear a seatbelt in my car?
Hey, it's the same thing, too, when if you ride a motorcycle wearing a helmet.
Yeah.
Some people say, no, I want that individual freedom. I don't want to wear a helmet. But in the meantime, most motorcycle accidents result in head injuries where the individual could be paralyzed or whatever.
Well, yeah.
And that becomes a cost of the state.
I think they're good reasons for some of the laws.
So only those that you like?
Only the ones that I like.
Got it. Okay. Speaking of laws that you like, what do you think of this business with Hillary Clinton? She seems to be pulling off all of this stuff. And on one hand, they're saying the FBI is getting after her and she's going about her business like nothing has happened. You know, what happens? I guess when you get to that level, when you have power and you have powerful people in front of you and in back of you and on the side of you, you can pretty much do anything and get
away
with
it. Well, I think this is a problem with too many news stations are going on 24/7. They have to find stories. And basically the ones who are keep on hitting the same stories are the conservative stations, the Fox Broadcasting. They're the ones that always people are saying, well, she's a felon. They're always calling her a felon. The Democratic Party has a felon and a socialist.
Hasn't been proven that.
I know, but that's what they're calling her.
But you know how my take on this is. So she used her own private email server. Big fucking deal. It did not compromise the security of our country. So what? I'm sure other people have done it. I think the main problem, the big problem is. She tried to cover it up. She tried to lie instead of telling the truth. It's like with Nixon and Watergate. Had he fessed up from the get-go and maybe fired some idiot for doing it, in 6 weeks they would have forgotten about it. But the fact that he tried to cover it up and lie, that's what did him in, and I think that's what's hurting her.
Well, I think it's more than email type of thing. I think it's a lot of where she's getting money, and they keep on pressing to that. They keep on pressing to Goldman Sachs. They wanted to release the speeches.
Presidents,
talking about
ex-presidents have always gone on the speaking tour, and they've made gazillions,
right.
All of them. Now, there's also another thing that bugs me here. When this thing first started and reporters were questioning the State Department about these emails, they clammed up, and it was so apparent that they were just they were told to shut up and not say anything.
Yeah, they're known as covering your ass.
It was a cover-up from
K-Y-A,
the very beginning.
CYA.
And to me, that was bad. Okay. The fact that they lied and tried to cover it up, and this whole business with Benghazi is also full of shit.
Well, I don't know that's so much a cover-up.
Did you see the movie?
No, I haven't seen it yet. But the whole question of Benghazi, you know, I recognize it was too, one life is hard to lose. But you're talking, even though he was the ambassador, you're talking about four people total. Every day in Afghanistan, in Iraq, hundreds of people are being killed by bombs that we're doing. We're bombing them.
Yeah, but this is a situation where people are saying, help could have arrived on time. Help could have been provided, but somebody told the help, stand down.
How about if the help came and 10 other soldiers were killed defending the four people?
That could happen too. That has happened in many situations.
But again, it's a sad situation, but I don't think – I'm not sure what especially touching the young folk. I know I have a son that's 19, a son that's 20, and both of them – would not vote for Hillary. Both of them are Bernie fans. Well, why? Because they think that she's dishonest.
She's
for big business.
She is dishonest.
Well, isn't that in the definition of politician?
Yes.
Someone who runs for office who's dishonest, basically.
Does that fall into the category of the oxymoron thing?
Yeah, that's military intelligence. An honest politician.
An honest politician. Well, that's where, Trump may turn out to be an honest politician because the guy has so much money, you can't buy him.
Yeah, but the thing is, he's always talking against banks. Who gives him the money but the banks? He owes the banks. If business goes down, he loses money. He's not totally independent. But what I think is totally wrong is the citizens for – I forget what they are – where you can give unlimited amount of money to help politicians win, like the Koch brothers, who I don't know how many millions upon millions of dollars.
I heard about that. Well, wait, what about the other billionaire? You have another billionaire.
Adelson.
Not Adelson, but the ex-mayor of New York City.
Oh, Bloomberg.
Yeah, he might come in. About jumping in. So can you imagine Bloomberg, a billionaire, Trump, another billionaire, fighting it out, duking it out. They know each other. I'm sure before and after the program or before and after the election, there'd be buddy, up, down, and sideways.
But I can't see why. Elections cost billions or millions and billions of dollars.
It's the advertising.
It's the advertising.
All the staff people.
It's the advertising on network television. The network belongs to the public.
It belongs to the stockholders.
No, the FCC – gives the licenses to all the networks. Without their license, they cannot do business.
You need a governmental license.
Right.
Absolutely.
So now why can't the government tell them during the election time for the president, you have to allot X amount of free airtime?
I thought they did that.
No, they don't. There was one time I know when I worked in radio that in order to renew your license, you had to have public service time that you had to.
Well, isn't that the same thing?
Yeah, but they don't have that anymore. That was it away.
Okay, so that was discontinued.
Now, also, which aggravates me when you see the debates on television where they break away for commercial. Why the hell aren't the networks or the cable stations providing that time as public service? Why do they? I know they want to make money, but they should not be allowed to have commercials. When you're having this, I see commercials during the Super Bowl. I see commercials during the fights. I see commercials during a baseball game. But I do not see them running commercials for a debate. There'll be a debate tonight between, I think, Bernie and
Well, wait a minute. These Hillary. Debates have breaks for commercials.
They have breaks for commercials. And that shouldn't be it. There shouldn't be breaks for commercials. This airtime should be provided as a public service to the public.
Maybe the participants don't mind and like it because it gives them a little bit of a break.
No. I think that the this should not be. This should not cost any money. It's sort of like, this commercial is brought to you by, or this by Chase Manhattan Bank, or it's like a football game.
No, brought to you by Bernie Sanders, yeah, or Hillary Clinton, or Donald Trump.
It's like, I don't know if you watch sports or not, but every break.
I try not to.
This update is brought to you by, they name the bowls after the, the commercial entities. They name the stadiums after the commercial entities. You know, I think if I have another child, I'll name him after the commercial entities.
I watched something on the news about this business about Beyonce, her presentation or performance or whatever you want to call it during the Super Bowl halftime. And former New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani commented on it on CNN.
Right, I heard that.
And he was definitely down on it. I mean, he really, really, he was not too happy with it. And he said that because her whole thing ridiculed the police and it was anti-police as opposed to being pro-police.
He would have liked it if it was pro-police.
And he pointed out that when he was mayor, the number of fatalities, shootings, murders dropped by from about, I think he said 1,500 by time when he came in, down to about 500 by time he left per year. And also there were more people put in jail, cops. He said he put more bad cops in jail than anyone.
As a prosecutor.
And he also said...
Yeah, he was the assistant attorney general or the attorney general?
Before he became mayor of New York City. And he thought it was a terrible thing that she did.
Well, I don't necessarily agree
did
with
you see
him
it?
Because I saw it. But I didn't understand the words anyway. I just looked at her body. No. I'm sorry.
Okay, well, that's
what
most
she says
people
to me
do.
Is unimportant. It's the way she looked was the important thing. But what I found funny is he said, how come they had that show? There shouldn't be Hollywood. What the hell is that whole presentation of the Super Bowl? It's very Hollywood.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
I mean, that whole presentation, you know, with Coldplay, with Bruno Mars. It's all Hollywood. It's all staged. The whole week before the football game, the Super Bowl is staged. Mm-hmm. Where they have, the players must come out and talk to the press. Otherwise, they could be fined. Mm-hmm. And the whole thing is a stage presentation. So why is all of a sudden he said, it's going Hollywood? Of course it's going Hollywood. TV is paying for it.
Well, anyway, that was that. And this is now. We probably won't see any more performances like hers going forward.
You want to bet?
No, I won't bet.
Well, we still have, let's say.
Probably lose.
The NBA will be, the title will be in April. The championship game for the National Basketball Association.
Okay, what does that got to do with?
Well, you probably hear it because most of these sporting events, and most of the pro athletes happen to be African American.
Mm.
Aside from baseball. Baseball, I think there's less African American, less black players now than there was a decade ago.
Well, I know where there are less black performers in the sport of swimming.
Well, then I don't know if you remember there was
swimming. They're mostly white.
I don't know if you remember. Well, you probably remember this Dodger official, Al Campanis.
I remember the name, but I don't remember.
Al Campanis was.
This goes back to the 50s.
Al Campanis was, I think the general manager of the Dodgers and friendly with Jackie Robinson, which he always says was one of his good friends. But I forget when. I think it was the 70s or something, and he was on a TV show. And he was talking about why there are no black swimmers.
Oh, really?
And he was saying because of the buoyancy. Huh. Because of the way they're physically built. They were not buoyant in water. But aside from that, they asked
him. I find that hard to believe.
And they asked him about how come there were no, there were not that many black managers or general managers who are black. And he said, well, they're good athletes, but they don't have what it takes to be managers. They don't have the brain power.
He said that?
He said that. And I forget who interviewed him. I don't know. It was Howard Cosell, one of the big interviews. And he sort of asked him. He said, you sure you want to say that? And he said, yes. This is what I think. And, of course, they fired him the next day. And supposedly he wasn't a bigot. So don't ask me.
Well, you know what it is? This whole business of being politically correct has been pushed a little bit too far, in my opinion.
Yeah, but who's asking you your opinion?
Nobody. But, you know, enough is enough. You can be politically correct to the point where you can't do anything or say anything venture any kind of opinion whatsoever. Because you can, what we have now in the terms of political correctness, you can extrapolate that out and it'll cover just about anything and everything. And if you do that, I might not even be able to talk to you or have a more than a couple of words conversation because every other word might be politically incorrect.
Now, the important thing, I think, in that is not necessarily what you think. You could say what you think. The question is, do you have the power to implement it? Because is your position such where you have to play on a fair field? Can you, well, let's say if you're a bigot, can you become prejudice against, can you not hire blacks? Can you not hire Latinos? Can
you
not hire
bigot,
Jews?
You want to become a bigger bigot.
And there, I remember years ago when I was working for an ad agency. This is going back into the early 70s, and I was an associate producer. And I was doing okay, and my boss left, and we had another boss coming in, and I was, who, as a producer, and I wouldn't say his name, but, after about 3 months, I was fired. Then I got a job for another agency, and I was speaking to someone, and they told me, they said, oh, you lasted 3 months with him? And I said, yeah, why not? He said, he never had a Jew work for him in his life. And those were the days, and I remember that he was blonde. He looked a little like Johnny Carson. I mean, he was blonde, blue eyes. He was slim. And the thing which I never could understand,
You're describing me.
Oh. I was working in New York, and in the wintertime, I'd come off the subway, and there was slush in the street, or it was wet. And when I got
like
to
LA.
The, yeah, when I got to the office, my hair was messed, my shoes were wet, the cuffs of my pants were, you know, all
wet,
not shaved. This guy would come in, it was look like he was just out of the shower and out of the tailor shop. Everything was pressed. Everything was in its place.
Yeah, don't you hate people
like
that?
I never could understand how the hell he did it.
I hate people like that. Mm-hmm. I remember in college, there was always some guy. He would be dressed properly. If I went in a T-shirt, that's how I went, you know. And this guy would be wearing a suit or a jacket, maybe even a vest. Would never break out into a sweat. I mean, I hate people like that. I would have to take my tie off, open my shirt collar, and I'm sweating.
Well, look at you now. You're
well,
not sweating.
Right now,
here.
I'm relaxed. Well, I'm not in school, so I just undid my tie, had a meeting
what
earlier.
What school did you go to?
NYU and then Brooklyn College.
Mm-hmm. Well, you and Bernie.
Yeah.
Well, Bernie went to, well, actually, right. I looked it up for my brother. Bernie went 1 year to Brooklyn College. And then he went to the University of Chicago.
What year did he go to Brooklyn College?
He graduated, actually, Madison High School in Brooklyn,
well,
1959.
My sister went to Madison. When did he graduate Madison?
59.
See, my sister graduated, I believe, in 1960.
Well, how old is your sister? Well, he's 74.
And
so she's 73, 74?
She is 75.
75. So she could have either graduated with him or a year before him.
Or maybe she knows him.
Or maybe she knows him. He was on the track team. He was very popular. Then he went to...
pop her an email and ask her.
Wait. Now I have it.
Wait, what?
Stan said he's going to pop his sister.
Pop her an email.
Okay. Yeah, but we don't have to go through the whole thing.
I'll send her an email.
Okay.
I retract the word pop. I will send her an email.
Check it out.
In the proper way with the proper in the proper channels and ask her if she knows this guy and if she remembers him or whatever.
But it's funny. I don't know if anyone ever called him Mr. Sanders or Senator Sanders. It's always Bernie. It's sort of he's like your uncle or
Well, he
your
likes
brother.
To go that way. He's trying to befriend everyone.
Folksy,
yeah. I don't know if that would cut it if he's dealing with guys like Putin or the Ayatollah or one of those guys.
Well, the Ayatollah wouldn't deal with him. He's Jewish.
That's true. Well, you know what? What's going to be if he does get in? You're going to have these guys in the Mideast saying, I'm not meeting with anybody who's Jewish?
I don't know.
You think that's possible?
No, not really. There are other. I mean, Madeleine Albright found out she was partly Jewish.
Yeah.
She was Secretary of State, and there are a lot of Jews in the State Department.
Then or now?
I think probably now. Also, I can't name them. But is Henry Kissinger? He was Jewish. I don't know if he ever followed the Jewish religion.
He's like, I guess, what you would call a closet Jew.
Closet Jew?
Yeah. You know, he was, but then again, he wasn't, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. I know he used to go out with beautiful women. Henry Kissinger went out with some of the top beauties of his period. It's power. Power attracts women.
I heard it different. Power corrupts.
No, ultimate power corrupts.
And absolute power. Yeah. Corrupts absolutely. Corrupts.
I don't know. I'm trying to get the absolute power. I will let you know when I attain that position. Well, I will not be corrupted.
Please remember me when you get there.
What's your name?
Forget it.
what's his name, Aaron? Do you know it? Are you up?
Oh, you woke him up. Come on. He's out there having a ham sandwich. Don't bother him now. That's our in-house, behind the studio
I think his
control
name is
guy. He's the he could pull the plug on us, and we'll be talking to ourselves.
No, he can't.
He can't pull the plug?
He can't pull the plug.
Okay.
The plug is...
In the movies, they could pull the plug.
They could turn off the movie.
Okay, true.
But they can't turn off the picture, you see? You look like a combination of Bernie Sanders... And now I just thought of if you hunch over just a little bit, you could
forward or back?
You could be Larry King with a glass. Now you need a little.
No, he's much
sharper
older.
Glasses.
He's a lot. I'm older than Bernie, and Larry King is older than me.
Oh, okay. How old is Larry?
His 90s, I think.
No, I don't think so.
I don't know. He's definitely older than me.
No, okay.
And,
in person, he looks much older than you. I've seen him in person.
He had a harder life.
He looks horrible. He might be a great guy.
You know why?
But...
It's because of those younger girls that he keeps marrying. You know, one-third his age or whatever.
Well, you're Marilyn. Isn't she one-third your age?
No, I don't think so. Not by a long shot.
You know, Liz, I always tell my wife, do you realize she was born when I was a senior in college?
Hmm.
And we should not reveal any ages, but I always told her that my first marriage, I always told her I waited for her. Not my fault. I'm that much older than her. She just was born on time.
All right. That's a nice way to put it.
Yeah.
You waited.
I waited. I waited all those years. I waited about 22 years until she was.
You're a patient person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, wasn't waiting per se. I was waiting to get married. There were other things which I participated in.
Yeah. You know what else I noticed about this whole cockamamie election business? There are some people, if they're, let's say they're voting Republican, no matter what, they will vote for a Republican even if he's the worst candidate alive and he represents nothing that they believe in. And it's the same thing with some Democrats. They don't care who they are or what they did. They will vote Democratic no matter who.
Well, that's what they had all these Republican people running for the presidency. They say, will you support the party no matter who wins? Yes. So they're going to support Donald Trump for president, and they can't stand him. I mean, first of all, I think Donald, I don't know where he's gotten his opinions recently, but he was a liberal. A New York liberal. He was for abortion.
He probably still is deep down inside. He's just holding a lot of these thoughts to himself until
he becomes president, then he'll switch.
Or until he gets the nomination, if he's going to get it. And then he could say, okay, this is what I believe in.
Now, this is what I really believe in. Screw everyone.
And this is what I really believe in. And if you don't like that, come back tomorrow and I'll tell you what I really believe in. Okay. Well, who the hell knows? You know, we don't know. You know, there are politicians that have promised everything, and then it turns around that they lied. Well, what about that one? I forget who said it. No new taxes. Read my lips.
Read my lips. That was
who said that?
That was Papa Bush.
Well, he lied.
He lied.
They all lied. They all lie one time or another. You know, I know a guy a long, long time. I'm not going to mention his name in case he's listening. He may not like it. But he used to say to me about these elections, he said, it doesn't matter who gets in. Things will still always be the same.
Well, there's that same infrastructure. No matter who, it's right, no matter
and
who
becomes
president.
And that's why people are flocking to Trump and Sanders, because they're not part of that infrastructure. They're not part of that Beltway crowd.
Well, Sanders has been senator.
Yeah, but he hasn't been with them. He's like on the edge. He's like a hippie senator. Right. He's a 73-year-old hippie senator.
74.
He was 73 last year, whatever.
I think he was... He was talking Charlie Rose.
No, wait, he lives in Vermont. Does he ski?
In Vermont. I don't think so, but he plays basketball, which is the important thing.
Okay.
He was shooting hoops over it the other day with the other view.
Where?
The view from over here.
No. Oh. Not
the view.
Was he shooting hoops at the schoolyard?
No, it was in
with
the studio.
With Julio? No.
Actually, when during at the end of the New Hampshire primary, one of the reporters said, while he was waiting to make his speech, he was shooting hoops in the back.
No, that's good. Okay, that makes him likable. But
he's following
is strange,
the steps of Obama.
Well, okay, that's a whole different story. But what is strange, all of these younger kids seem to be flocking to him.
Yeah, free education, which I agree with, because I have two boys that go to college. It's damn expensive. They're going to owe a bundle of money when they get out.
Yeah,
I don't know how it's financed.
Well, one thing I don't think that they should do, if you have student loans, it's one thing, but I don't think that they should be charged interest. I really don't.
Well, aside from them being charged interest, I'm charged interest on the loan that I have to take out for them. And both of them, one is going to
What interest rate are they charging?
I don't, 6 point something.
Okay, but if a bank wants to get money from the federal government so it could lend to its customers, they're getting it at what?
Right, they're getting it, I think, less than a
point. Nothing.
Right.
Practically nothing. That's not right.
Well, that's, I think, Bernie said that. How come the kids are paying more of an interest rate than the banks are paying interest rate than the government?
Yeah, that doesn't make sense. Not at all.
And that's why I think the young like them. I think it was sort of like in New Hampshire, it was like 88% of those under 30 voted for Bernie.
Okay, what percentage? How does that reflect in terms of the entire population? You could do a demographic study and find out how many potential voters are there under age 30. Forget if they're black, white, green, or whatever, but if they're under 30 and if they make up a big enough percentage, wham,
they will.
There
and,
it goes.
And what I think Hillary has problems with is she has most of the African-American or black voters supposedly on her side, where Bernie had breakfast or lunch with Al Sharpton
in
New York. But I read some of his background. He has always been involved in civil rights. He was, I think it was an active member of CORE when he went to the University of Chicago, and he picketed for fair housing. So it's not all of a sudden he's becoming active. He always had been active.
Yeah. Yeah, I never said that he just became that way now.
But he might, once his record is known, he might sway a lot of the African-American voters on his side that would normally vote for Hillary, especially the younger ones who are tired of status quo.
Yeah, this is going to be a very interesting year.
It should be.
Election-wise.
And we're going to be here to cover it. Now, if you're out there and you're in the political realm, could you see us, if you could get us a press pass?
To what?
To the...
The inauguration?
The nomination. The nomination.
You mean the convention?
The convention. We should have a press pass and cover it. So if you're out there, send it to...
Wait a minute, you're the producer of the show. Why don't you handle it?
Who gives you press passes?
Beats the hell out of me. I don't know.
Anyway, okay, I'm going to...
Hey.
If you know who has a press pass...
Well, wait a minute, you're the producer of the show. You should
email
know
me or
things.
Text me.
I'll
I should,
text
but,
you. Okay.
But I never got involved in a political show. This is a show about stuff.
You're not getting involved in it. You want to report on it.
No, I want to give an opinion on it. I don't want to report.
I don't think they want opinions.
They're not,
they have their own opinions.
Have you listened to the news lately? Show me where there's a newscaster.
That what? That does what?
That doesn't, that you don't know where they stand on any given issue. Or any station. I go to a station, I know how they're going to slant the news.
Well, they're supposed to be impartial. They're not supposed to say, but you know what? You can infer from the questions and from the way they answer their own questions sometimes
the question is,
who they really are for.
Right. How many times have you cheated on your wife last year? That's the type of questions they ask. Or they also, and just in the newscast, it depends on which piece of, there's so much news out there, which one do they choose to cover?
Right, yeah. The one that'll
prove their own point.
Or as they used to say, the one that sells more papers?
Yeah. And now you look at the local news, and what are they talking about? They're talking about the car accidents. They're talking about the car chase.
Yeah.
They're talking about the person killed in South L.A. or... a robbery. I mean, it really has nothing to do with it. It's sort of like should be, in the third page of a back page of a newspaper.
Well, not everything is fit to print like the New York Times says. Mm. In fact, I was reading some opinions put forth by the New York Times and the L.A. Times. They seem to be definitely against Trump. Read some stuff that really, really, wow, I didn't think a newspaper would take such a positive stand against someone.
The New York Times or the L.A. Times?
It was one of the Times. I forget which one, Malcolm. It was either L.A. or New York, and I don't remember. I just know it said Times.
My brother, who is your contemporary, he is sort of on a personal vendetta against the New York Times. He says they are totally anti-Israeli. He said
one would think so, yeah.
He says every time he reads something that the Palestinians do, it's so great, and everything the Israelis counter or do is so horrible.
Yeah, he's right on that. Also, I remember, I don't remember because I was a little kid then, but I remember reading about it or getting stuff on it now, but during World War II, news of the Holocaust camps did get out. The Allies did know about it. The New York Times did know about it, and they gave it maybe four or five lines on page 34.
Well, from what I understand, the owner of the Times are the Sulzbergers, who have been owning it for, I think, forever, who are Jewish. They didn't want the paper to seem too Jewish.
So they went
the opposite way. That's where I don't know that for a fact, and probably people can contradict me.
And it's probably not true anyway.
But I know now, as far as my brother is concerned, they're anti-Israel.
Hey, look, a lot of Jewish people were for Roosevelt, 1,000%, and he did nothing to help them during World War II.
Well, I think that's an interesting situation.
His wife did more than he did.
I think Roosevelt wanted us to get into the war. I think from what I understand, we knew about the attack on Pearl Harbor before it happened. There were signs that it was going to happen.
There were so many signs, and there's so much stuff that we'll never know because it's buried, it's covered. There are all kinds of revisionist versions of what happened. I've read books that said Roosevelt knew when it was going to happen, I mean, really knew.
And he let it. He let it happen because
he wanted to get into the war. This was the only way
to drag us into the war.
And there were also other versions and put out by other writers saying that George Marshall, who was head of the armed forces at that time, they were saying that he's going to be sent off to some graveyard shift after this thing comes to the front. And all of the investigations, official-wise, came up with nothing new.
Speaking of, not George Marshall, but I was just watching which I've seen before, the George Patton, Patton.
Patton? What about
him?
Yeah,
I saw the movie with George C. Scott and the story about him and his frustrations and how we could have gone into Germany way before, but we had to wait for the Russians to come, and that divided the city up.
There are a lot of so many could have, would have, should have things. You never know. People have written books. What if we did it that way instead of this way? You know, something else, too, a lot of people don't realize, we could have lost that war. It was not a damn. It was not a sure thing that we were going to win.
Well, we could have lost Europe, except
we could have lost on a number of
Hitler different
things.
Hitler didn't listen to his people. To his
generals. Hitler was our best friend because he screwed them up more.
He was maniacal.
Yeah, if his generals did what they wanted to do and didn't listen to him, they might have won.
Mm-hmm.
Really, and there's so much history on that, but. Do I hear a phone ringing?
No, you hear my beeper beeping.
Oh, beeper.
It's
okay.
It's a buzz. And,
who wants you?
I don't know.
Can you shut it off?
No. It's my mother, but she's been dead.
Well, she's calling you. You got a problem.
It's me, Whiffy.
Okay.
Who knows I'm in the studio? Because I told her.
Oh, she thinks you're out doing something else.
Philandering around. Philandering would be the word.
Or
fooling.
Fooling.
I am fooling around. This is not really.
Philandering is what you would maybe read in one of those old English novels. Fooling around is more current, I think.
Well, speaking about current, how far are we on The Captain? We are doing a screenplay.
Oh, The Captain. The Captain from Nantucket. Working title.
Working title. W.T.
W.T. Let's not talk about it because we don't want to give anybody out there an idea what we're doing other than we think it's going to be great. And we are working on it. But when we're ready to divulge or reveal what it's about, we'll do so on the air.
Well, you have to have the script
done. Yes. Well, we already have an in-depth outline.
Right.
We do need the script. We're working on it now. But let's not tell people out there because who knows? It's a great idea. Even though it's in the public domain, we don't know that anybody is working on it. And if somebody starts working on it, then it becomes a race. And we don't want to get involved in a race.
But after that, I want to do a script on the trees, your book. About
the trees.
The Brooklyn guys that go to Las Vegas.
Yeah, that is a story unto itself. And for those people out there that have no knowledge about it, it's about starting out in Brooklyn in the mid-50s. Ordinary kids, and they make it to Las Vegas in time to witness the changes from the mob to Howard Hughes to corporate America and all of the changes that take place. And I have to tell you, Malcolm, well, you already know, you read the book, but for those other people out there that are listening, of the 400, it's about 475 pages, and everything in it happened. The research that went into it, all of these items happened, not in the order or the sequence that I show them or with the same characters, because my people are all composite characters. So my main characters may be a combination of three or four people, as are everyone else in there.
And where can our audience get the book?
Oh, they could get it wherever books are sold.
And what's the name of it?
The Trees by Stan Weisleder.
Uh-huh.
You can get it from Amazon, obviously.
It's probably the best place.
Probably the best, and they'll get it for you within 24 hours.
You're interested. I think we should do a show on you from lifeguard to author to radio host.
Oh, and sheriffing in between.
And sheriff in between.
Well, we'll talk about that.
You lived quite a life.
Well, I'm still working on it.
Hopefully.
Not done yet.
No.
But it's funny, you know what?
You still have to get the script to me.
Yes.
I mean, that's a must.
Well, that, as you know, it's being worked on as we speak, as they say, as we speak. But I think that's going to be a very good, interesting show. I think the story's terrific. And the fact that it's based on real people.
Real people.
What really happened. And the should I give away?
Not yet.
Who he's related to?
Not yet.
Not yet. Not yet. We'll hold that.
But it goes from then till now, and it's still the people, the families are still around today.
Definitely.
Even as we speak.
Definitely, as we speak.
And it had a big play in the history, especially of California, that we could say.
Oh yeah. Let's not say anymore.
Not say anything more. But we will have it, and hopefully, if I can get him to work more.
Me? Yeah,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Stan,
I'm working on it every night.
No, Stan has a habit where we talk every day, and then all of a sudden I won't hear from him for 3-4 days.
Or longer.
And sometimes when our show was in a hiatus, when we switched from CRN, which was about 7-8 months ago, I wouldn't hear from him for weeks. And I was wondering, I used to read the obituaries, anything with Stan Weisleder? Yeah, but I actually, you know, talking about that in the side, it seems now, that's the first page I read in the paper, and it seems a lot of people, as they get older, read the obituaries.
Well, I think they're doing what some comedian said years ago. He looks at the obit every morning, and if he doesn't see his or her name, he says, okay, today's a good day. We can continue.
Right, right. That was George Burns, I think, said.
Well, he said that?
He's credited with saying a lot of things. Yeah, if I don't read my name in the paper and the obits, and I know it's
yeah,
fine.
There's a lot of truth to that, because sometimes, you know, they could put a name in there unbeknownst to you.
But just a little on the serious side, before I came here, I got a notice on Facebook that my old mentor and boss in radio passed away, a guy named Ed Argo. He was 87. And I mean, he was the general sales manager over at KFAC and probably one of the best bosses I ever had. I mean, he would look into your eyes and see if there was something wrong with you, you know, if you were feeling good or not feeling good, and if he senses there was something troubling you, he'd call in the office, shut the door, and say, okay, what's happening?
And take a thermometer and put it in your mouth?
Not quite, but he was probably one of the nicest people. And during that period of KFAC, there were two people. He was the general sales manager, and George Fritzinger was the owner, and he had since passed away also. And that was like, we used to call it like the days of Camelot. You know, for 10 years working, they made a hell of a lot of money, both of them did.
When did you leave radio?
I'm still in radio.
No, I mean, when were you
full-time? I started my own company 94. 94, what I did is... 94, I brokered some stations for my old boss, George Siegel.
Did you work in L.A. or was it New York?
All in L.A. In New York, I worked in the advertising business.
Okay.
I produced commercials and documentaries.
When you worked in L.A., did you ever run across or did you know of a guy by the name of Don Dalton?
Don Dalton.
He was the manager, I think, at that time of... KISS and KFI, I think.
Probably, I knew Andy Dalton.
Oh, well, doesn't matter. He was my neighbor, and the guy died.
No.
Not because he was my neighbor. He just died.
Well, you killed him. That's beside the point.
His number came up, whatever.
Well, that's my wife always says, no matter what you do, if your number comes up, your number comes up. Because my son now, he's a junior over at UC Santa Barbara. He wants to spend half
of his... Well, if your number comes up... He, give it back and say, give me another number.
He wants to spend, he wants to go to Rio.
As in De Janeiro?
From August to December as part of his senior year. And he also studied Portuguese and he's fluent in Spanish. So
tell him to get a job.
But he gets it with the mosquitoes and everything.
Oh, yeah. You got to watch out for that. Zika, or whatever the name is.
He said he's not pregnant, so.
Yeah, but he could get somebody pregnant.
Yeah, actually, they said it could be transmitted through sexual contact.
You could transmit. It could be in your blood.
No, they say it only lasts in the blood for a few weeks or a month.
That's enough.
But you can't get anybody pregnant. Anyway, it looks like time is running out.
Well,
we're
just
going to go up to the 55 minutes.
Holy mackerel. You know, it really flies by quickly.
And we've just been talking nonsense. I hope people listen to us. Do you think they'll listen to us?
Who the hell knows?
If you're listening to us... Text us.
You know where they're going to listen?
I'll
tell you where they're going to listen. They're going to listen when we get the captain from Nantucket up there on the screen.
Well, what they're going to do is...
That's when they're going to listen.
No, they're not going
to
listen. They're going to see it.
Well, then they'll listen to us.
Because they're going to put this either on Netflix or Amazon.com or HBO.
You said it. Absolutely.
And as they say, from my mouth or your mouth to God's ears, if you believe in God.
Yes, if you do.
But anyway, who's on next week's show?
Next week's show will be you and me.
And we have no idea
who else
is
coming. Well, we have a few people, but I cannot get them to firmly commit. I don't want to mention any names because then I'll embarrass people.
Well, let's embarrass them.
But I tell you, no, without mentioning names, we have one guy who is a comedian. Okay, you know him.
And stop hitting that, yeah.
Well, that was my watch.
Right.
Okay. He's been in the movies. He's been on different shows. We have somebody who's a writer, and we have somebody who is a movie director, but these people are always so busy, we can't get them to sit down. We have to do it, a taping right here and now, come into the studio, and they come up with excuses the last minute.
Well, now that we have the video, you can see them also. This is fantastic. I mean, it's exciting what you can do nowadays. But anyway, say goodnight, Gracie.
All right, goodnight, you people out there, and we'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Okay, Malk. Bye.